This is... Oh, I can't believe I've fucked it up.
35, 27.
No, wait. I've got to turn that off. Okay. Now we can do it. This is D&G, The Return. The audio only.
Edition.
The slightly weird because I'm sitting on the floor and you're sitting on the couch and...
Reclining.
This is strangely the furthest away from each other we've been whenever we've recorded a show.
And we haven't even got a camera on us.
No. Oh, wait. I'll turn the GoPro on so that we've got footage of us.
Behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes footage.
Yeah. Working hard. Hardly working.
Working 9 to 5.
It's 6:39 at night.
Yes.
Yep.
There we go. A little bit of footage of Dale recording the first ever show. And that's me recording the first ever show. Anyway, I shouldn't talk about the visual stuff because this is no longer
this
a visual
is audio.
Show.
We're trying
audio only.
Yep.
Which means that when I take a drink, you're going to have to talk.
Oh, okay, yeah. And when I take a drink and make this sound, we know that the party's officially started.
Everyone will know what's going on when you make that sound for sure. In case anyone actually cares and is listening to us from previous shows that knows the previous versions and stuff, this is probably going to be about the same in terms of quality. And it's going to hopefully be better because we're going to have more time to focus.
Yes.
And we're hopefully not going to have as many technical issues as we previously did. Even though today we've started the show off with some technical issues, it took us, I don't know, 15 minutes to actually get recording since Dale got to my place.
But they wouldn't know that because... We've just, anyway.
These are not the technical issues you were looking for.
No, no, that's right. And it's not live, so we don't have people annoying us with messages every 5 seconds.
Except for myself, who Except got one you. Just a second ago.
Yeah.
Which is weird because I'm not popular by any stretch of the imagination, and I never get them, and then I got one just before. So, yeah. But it also means that if something does go...
awry, we can pause it and edit it out and nothing has happened.
Yeah, exactly. I think the pausing is a good thing as well. Like we talked before about the possibility of pausing, doing something and then coming back. I think that's
going
to be a good thing.
Going for a wee.
Yeah, exactly. Going for a wee, that kind of stuff. Also, I'm looking forward, and I know I've mentioned this to you, I'm looking forward to the concept of special occasions. So we can do live shows when we do special occasions. That's something I'm looking forward to. And we both keep looking up at the big screen, which has got the recording program on it.
I just expect to see our faces, but they're just not there.
I can do that if you want.
No.
I can do that very quickly and easily.
How?
Oh, no, wait, not that one. Not as quick and easy as I thought.
That's all right.
Because I accidentally clicked on the wrong thing before and it came up with our faces. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So... Well, that's my face, but still, that's an old episode right there. Oh, no, it's only 2 minutes of something. It's 2 minutes of me. Trust me, it was an old episode. It was part of an old episode.
Fair enough.
Speaking of old episodes, this we're sort of going to continue the numbers. There you go. That's a picture of us.
I don't even know what number we're up to, though.
Yeah, so let's not talk about it now. I'll figure it out when I upload it over the weekend.
So this is episode...
edited in like afterwards, Gavin. Yeah. You made the suggestion, which I very much like, of theming each episode. Would you like to introduce the theme, especially this week, given that you sort of were the suggester?
Look, I'm very much as long time listeners will probably know. I'm quite partial to the idea of the apocalypse. I love reading stories, ideas, movies, listening to album themes about the apocalypse. And I just think in the wave of all the new movies and shows and stuff that have come out spruiking the apocalypse, it's a good topic to discuss. I mean, as you know, we've discussed on previous podcasts, I'm quite in favor of the monster destroying us apocalypse.
Yep.
But I'm just thinking your expertise on the all things flora, we could discuss the idea of plants trying to kill us.
trying to kill us.
See, a la The Happening, I think it was the name of that movie.
What's the line from that one? When the lady's trying to suggest that Mark Wahlberg's going to kill her, and
no,
he's like, wait, no. I thought you were going to go in to see... This is the funny thing. You've gone for the movie version of Apocalypse, whether it's massive monsters and dinosaurs attacking us, or whether it's the plants killing us all,
the
or
zombies.
Even the zombies or a meteor or something like that.
And this biblical apocalypse, we can get to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Whereas I've actually gone with the realistic possibility of apocalypse, be it not...
The X-Men character.
I don't necessarily think of... the Yosemite super volcano destroying us all.
Yep.
But it always feels like World War III is just around the corner.
Yeah, but that's an apocalypse, yeah.
As the Russia-US Cold War Part 2 starts heating up at the moment, as North Korea starts suggesting that maybe World War III is coming, as financial systems are
crumbling,
more and more absurd, as... the 1% or... Because apparently in the not-too-distant future, the 1% is going to earn or own even more of the world's income than they previously earned, kind of thing. And I know that I'm never going to get there. I'm never going to be one of the 1% and stuff. So I genuinely took it when you were going on to plants of, well, we've got to forage. We've got to know what plants we can eat.
There's that too. Yeah.
What medicinal plants we can have.
There's all that part of it.
And in that line, I was almost about to jump up and go grab one of my books from next to the book, next to the bed, which I still haven't finished reading, which is all on medicinal plants and stuff. So we could have seriously talked about that.
Look, we'll flow with the conversation. I might get there. But I think it's just always been a topic that's absolutely fascinated me. Like we... You know, if you go back to the idea of the biblical apocalypse, revelations and the cleansing of the world of all the bad things, I think, you know, we're getting to a stage where we might need a bit of that again. And then, you know, it gets me to thinking if there really is going to be a biblical apocalypse, and I'm hopefully not speaking out of turn, but I think neither of us will make it to heaven. Because we both live our lives like we're meant to be living it, and that doesn't abide by the great book, which was written thousands and thousands of years ago and been edited and edited over the years, and none of it makes sense anymore because apparently you're not meant to eat meat on Fridays, and if you do, you go to hell.
Are you trying to imply that you're not religious?
Oh, I'm certainly not religious, but, you know, look, all power to people that are. But I'm just saying that, you know, if there is a heaven and there is a hell, then I unfortunately think I won't be the ones going to heaven.
Based on all of the religious documentation, neither of us fall into either of those, any of those versions of what heaven could be. All the religions that believe in heaven or an afterlife. Whether you're a Buddhist and you think reincarnation is going to happen and stuff, yeah, I don't think I necessarily fall into the heaven category, unfortunately. Purgatory, probably. Probably spend a bit of time there.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is good because apparently there's a smoke monster and you're on the island with polar bears that never gets explained. And
all the aborted children.
Yep. What? Oh, yeah. Do you think... religious versions of the apocalypse is the way it could go?
Well, I've watched quite a bit of documentaries on it and stuff like that, and there's, you know, some of the look, it's all very much open to interpretation, but you know, you've got war, you've got famine, you've got pestilence, you've got death. I'm hoping that they're the horsemen of the apocalypse, and I'm not just...
That sounded pretty close, yeah.
We have war in our lifetime. We have famine in our lifetime. We have pestilence. We have death. Like, it's... Oh, I don't know. We are, look...
Are you saying that the four horsemen of the apocalypse are
already here? Oh, they're welcome guests at our dinner tables most days.
if there is an apocalypse, would I be correct in assuming that you would prefer, as you have stated on previous podcasts, you would prefer a giant monster attack?
Just to see it happen.
Godzilla style.
Yeah, Godzilla.
Would you...
Aliens.
Would you want to see it happen and be present afterwards to talk about it? Be the old man by the campfire saying, back when they first attacked.
I said this was coming.
Or would you like to be involved somehow, but then ultimately your death was because of it, or happened because of your involvement?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, of course I'd want to live through it and witness it, but, you know, if we're talking about the enslavement of the human race by a far superior being, then, you know, maybe I wouldn't want to be held in death camps by the aliens or the monsters or whatever.
The way I see it is, would you like to get to the end of Jurassic Park and be able to tell the stories yet have the nightmares and have your entire life then tainted by it? Or would you like to be the lawyer on the toilet that gets picked up by the dinosaur just to be able to have that experience? I mean, you have that experience and then you're dead, but you've had that experience of being picked up by a dinosaur.
I guess in all the situations, regardless of the theme of the apocalypse, I would want to see how people react to it. Like, you know, like how people go through nuclear war and the fallout afterwards, how people survive giant monsters coming from the sea and destroying cities. And I would, you know, I'd want to see what happens when the gates of hell open and the seven-headed beast comes. And
the most recent apocalypse novel and movie that I experienced was The Road.
Mm-hmm.
And when you said the way you'd like to see how people deal with it, in that, if anyone doesn't know, very quickly, a father and son are just walking.
Yep. They never explain what happened.
They never explain exactly what happened. All we know is that something happened. Mm-hmm. It's sort of hinted in the movie a little bit more than the book that it was nuclear war.
Yeah.
And it is about how people deal with it.
Mm.
In particular, there's a really good – they touch very well on how the guy's wife dealt with it, how he deals with it, the guy, and then how his son deals with it, because his son – at one point they find a vending machine and he gives him a can of, I think it's Pepsi or Coke or something. And the kid goes, oh, what is it? I don't even know what a vending machine is. Yeah. Yet he remembers, not on vending machines, when he was a little kid, the world's fine. There's no problems. I think I have to agree, that would be the most interesting part of it, to see, because I don't know about you, but I've jokingly thought about it in my head as to who of my friends and family would survive, of my friends and family would be able to handle it mentally, physically.
Yep. Whose neck would you step on to get out of the way?
Who would I kill as a mercy kill?
Yep.
Like, I'm sorry, Mum, but you're not going to hack it anymore. Yep. Bang. And then you think of something like zombie apocalypses with watching The Walking Dead, and you think, would we form savage groups that attacked each other, and would we have to then survive? But would the zombies become so commonplace and just meh that we then have to fight each other? Yeah. And then when the zombies eventually all die off, would it be mono a mono cult group of people trying to survive versus group of people? And then on the inside of those groups, they're sabotaging each other because there's no law anymore, so who gives a shit?
Yep.
It's all, it's all very interesting as to how people would do it. The weaker-willed and minded would just collapse.
Yep.
I know, I think I'd spend a lot of time...
A lot of people would kill themselves.
A lot of people would kill themselves. I'd spend a lot of time just going, well, I think I'd get very... I'd either be completely no intellect whatsoever, I've just got to keep going forward.
Yep.
Or I'd sit somewhere and starve to death thinking, well, what's the point now?
Mm.
At least now with society, I can say, well, I can go buy a TV, or I can go to the movies, or I can work for some money to buy some nice food.
Yep.
In those days, you'd just be foraging, you'd be starving, there'd be no learning jiu-jitsu, there'd be no watching fights on TV. No. There'd
just be surviving.
Just be surviving.
Yep.
Yeah.
The idea of and I'm glad you brought it up, the Walking Dead style apocalypse, it's... I'm the first to admit, and you know our viewers would probably know this because I've mentioned it. I am not a fan of the show. I can't watch it. I'm sure it's fantastic, but I just there's something about it that just doesn't draw me in. I guess you know it's a similar way that you know vampires are done to death, zombies are done to death for me. But the idea of that show makes no sense because one, it's set in America where everyone and their dog has a gun. The zombies walk super slow. And they're not protecting the most important people there, which would be the like the doctors and the scientists and stuff like that.
I've read a number of the comics, not all of them, and really enjoyed the comics. Pardon me. I've watched most of the show. I think the last two seasons I've actually missed purely because I just got over it. Yep. It just got shit. There was one series where I was just like, anyone that wanted to watch it, I was like, don't watch it currently. Yeah. Don't watch it. You'll hate it.
Yep.
Based on the way it's written, they never get a chance to protect the good people.
Mm.
It's literally just starts off with, I'm trying to survive. I don't know where to go. The zombies are so slow.
Like, what, you know?
They're so slow, but how many times does something slow just creep up on you because you're not paying attention?
Yeah.
If you're in camp and you're sitting there and all of a sudden it's day three of not seeing a zombie,
yeah.
You've given up on seeing a zombie. You're not thinking about it anymore. All of a sudden one just happens to not make that right noise to prick your ear and it gets close.
And you're a zombie as well.
And the minute they get close, shooting them doesn't stop them. You've got to shoot them in the head.
Yeah.
Or you've got to take the head off.
Yeah.
Or you've so yeah, they do go slow.
Mm.
Everyone's got a gun, but in the show, everyone does have a gun. They have gun shooting practice. They address the fact that little Carl, it may only be 9, 10 years old, but he's going to have to learn to shoot a gun because it could save his life.
Yeah.
But they also don't address the fact that you're going to run out of bullets.
Mm.
Very rarely do they find a new cache of bullets and start reloading. At least with Daryl and his crossbow, who's not in the book.
Oh, isn't Daryl in the book?
Daryl's not in the book.
Wow.
No.
Geez, he did well for himself.
He did very well for himself. At least with his crossbow, he can take the bow out and reuse it.
Yeah.
I'd like to see somebody make a bow and then make the arrows and do it that way, which ties me in to one of my favorite bad TV shows, which is Preppers.
Yeah.
The Doomsday Preppers.
Yeah.
The people who prep for the apocalypse. Yep. The people who think it's going to happen, that their shit's going to hit the fan and they have to bug out.
Yep.
And I remember this guy who makes bows and arrows out of like PVC and stuff. Like he practices making them and that.
Yep.
And you see him fire this thing and it's like, that's actually quite disturbingly powerful. Mm. Like if someone was coming at you and you fired that into their leg, that would really make them think twice.
Incapacitate them a bit, yeah.
That show, if you haven't seen it, I recommend it. It is fantastic. It's by National Geographic, I think. And
there's a few of those sort of shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this one, Doomsday Preppers in particular, I think it's hilarious because they critique the people.
Oh.
So they say, oh, George is a history teacher at the local school, but he thinks that this is going to happen.
Yeah.
So they ask them what disaster you think is coming. Mm. So a few of them think that the super volcano in Yosemite National Park is going to blow.
Yep.
And that's going to take out the sun for most of North America.
Yep.
Which, based on the volcano that's still erupting in Norway or Iceland or something, it's not that far-fetched.
No,
it's possible.
No.
But that one guy, his bet was to take to the streets of LA with his backpack and his shelter and stuff in his pack. And then he takes some salad dressing with him because he's going to forage food and make a salad.
Yeah, okay.
Oh,
Yeah,
and then they critique him at the end going, your knowledge of plants is good, but blah, 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 blah. It's like you can't, unless you're in LA, concrete jungle, you're not going to find, like there was actual footage of him, and it's so clear in my head, him standing beside the LA River, which is the big bit of concrete from Greece, I think, and a bunch of other movies when they're in that doing driving and drag races. And he's picking out weeds and stuff to eat and stuff. And I'm all for foraging. I love noticing an edible plant and going, oh, you can eat that and eating it and stuff. But no, that's not going to make it for you. Or there's there was one like college student who was like, she'd go running and training with like, go running with a backpack on, and they were stockpiling in their apartment and that. And I'm just like, you couldn't run 10K without a backpack.
No.
And then she's like, oh, I know my exit route from the city. And it's like, just live in the city and you know how to get out.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, admittedly, I've lived in Melbourne all my life, but if something happens, I know how to get out. Yeah. I know which way to go.
Yeah.
Oh, it just, it's so frustrating, some of them. Or the other one that's got a family that's got a, they've bought an old yellow bus and they practice every like month or two bugging out.
Oh, God.
So they all make a line between the storage, the food storage area and the bus, passing food between them to try and get out of, like pack up and get out of the place within 30 minutes or something. Then they drive to a field and they round the, round the wagons, circle the wagons.
Mm.
So they make a square out of their four trucks. And then that's going to be where they live if something goes wrong, and they're going to make, they're going to hit the road. They're going to be a convoy.
Gotcha.
In a big yellow bus that you can see from a mile away. It just it's
where are they going to get petrol from? That's that's all I'm saying. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's an our number one super fan Brian. He and I were talking at one point and we actually were discussing bug out bags and stuff like that. And I thought to myself, you know what? It's not that bad an idea or concept that if you for some reason need to leave, you can leave straight away.
Yeah.
And listening to one of my favorite podcasts, the Survival Podcast, a guy brought up a very interesting point. He and his family got home. Oh, they were either at home or they just got home or something. And there was a fire.
Hmm.
They left the house. And the minute they were outside, they instantly had nothing.
Yeah.
So you've got the clothes on your back, maybe your wallet in your pocket, that's it. Whereas if you had a bag that had a change of clothes for everyone in the family, had some maybe some food, had a few a credit card and some cash or something, you could literally wake up in the middle of the night with the smoke alarm going, say, oh shit, grab the bag, grab the kids, get out.
Get out, yeah.
So that kind of stuff, that was the main... The main thing that made me think that, and this is off topic because I've gone to bug out bags instead of apocalypse, but it made me think that a bug out bag and a bug out plan, especially when you've got a family and kids, like for you and I, we have to worry about one other person if something goes wrong because we both live with our girlfriends and we're, or I should say fiance, where we both go, if something goes wrong in our apartments, it's get up, make sure they're okay, get them out, and then, okay, shit, maybe I'll go back in for a jacket or something.
Yep.
But I like the idea of having a bag in the cupboard that's set to go if Jamie and I need to get out of here.
Have to get out, yeah. But you don't know, like, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, you don't, that could happen tomorrow and you don't know.
Yeah.
I find all those shows absolutely hilarious. Like, they're preparing for things that are probably never going to happen. But, look, there's so many people that are just not prepared. That's why I really would love to see how people react to this. Like there's a chance that we could face some sort of apocalypse based on, you know, the shit that's going down with the world at the moment, whether that's a nuclear thing, whether that's a virus like that, you know, we could consider that's some sort of near apocalypse situation. But people are just not ready. Like, and that's why I want to see what people would do. Like, and think about it. Like, I don't want to, pick out any one particular people, but when riots and stuff like that happen, there's a lot of looting that goes on.
Yeah.
So, you know, people go and steal their money and, you know, TVs and stuff like that. It's not going to be any good if there's no power or there's, you know, currency is not going to be worth anything.
Well, think about the things that you've put time, effort, and money into, and how many of those are just straight out the window the minute the current system of, as you said, power, money, all that kind of
petrol.
Stuff. I mean, you look at the room that we're sitting in right now. The only thing that's good to me once the power and electricity of the world goes is probably my guitar. The stuff that we're recording on is done. Sorry?
What can you do? Break it down, burn
Plywood,
it.
Plywood, yeah. The power goes all my recording gear, all my computer, everything's gone. Yep. Unless, of course, I've got solar. But then how much solar can you use to generate electricity? And then what would you – like, there's no point in me having a phone.
Yep.
Because the internet – if the full apocalypse happens, all the world, then there's no internet.
No.
Or – does the American government or a European government manage to keep the internet going based on their systems in bunkers somewhere under the Alps?
I don't know.
That's the thing that I reckon is the most amazing. Like, we save, like, it comes to the apocalypse and art's gone, music's gone, the Beatles mean nothing, Van Gogh's artwork is just shit, the Mona Lisa is literally firewood.
Yeah.
Nothing matters anymore, but there's going to be someone somewhere that hoards a bunch of stuff and manages to hold on to it.
Yeah, but what happened last time they did that with the Great Fire of Alexandria? Burnt to the ground.
Yeah, all then one match or one accident in that area.
Yeah.
It reminds me of V for Vendetta, the room where he's got all the artwork and stuff like that. And if they find that place. Well, Stephen Fry's character, the TV host, he's got all the stuff downstairs as well.
Quran,
and they find that, they find him, and they would then find that, and it's all gone. It's done. The Nazis put all the shit on the fire, and it's all gone. What would you grab
from my place
when you're leaving?
Oh,
and we're talking full apocalypse. We're not talking just the house is burning. We're talking full. You are now, let's go with nuclear. You are now on the street foraging for food. What do you grab?
Oh, you'd have to get some form of weapon to protect yourself. Like, I don't know, a knife?
No, what have you got that you would grab?
Got a knife.
Kitchen knife.
Yeah. That, fat lot of good that would do. Some matches, I guess.
I wish this was still the video show. That face was fantastic. That was like a day.
I don't know. Like, you're right. Like, all my, hundreds and hundreds of DVDs are completely useless to me now.
Well, no. They can be used as a reflecting mirror to try and get attention.
Yep.
So grab one of them. Grab your comics.
Firewood. Firewood.
Or for starting fire, that's good kindling.
Shit. I don't even know. Skateboard? Transportation?
I've just got this mental image of you and Chris going down a really long road and it's like, it's my turn on the skateboard. I've been pushing you for an hour. I'm not going to say who was whinging in that picture.
That'd be me. I really don't know. But look, while we're on the topic, I was reading something today in the bathroom about the amount of times we've been so close to nuclear war, it's not funny. Like
the Bay of Pigs,
the Cuban Missile Crisis. There was a time, and I don't know, it might have been one of the ones that we've mentioned, but there was a time where there was a computer glitch where for 6 minutes there was a possibility that there was a whole bunch of nuclear weapons headed towards America, and then it turned out it was simply a glitch. Like, this was in like the 70s when computer technology wasn't that good.
That wasn't what was the basis for Strangelove, was it? Because I think for some reason in my head that Dr. Strangelove or How I Learned to Love the Bomb and Stop Worrying or something had a little bit of reality to it. It came a little bit from reality because it's quite possible if a general just went nuts and he just pressed the button and sent it through.
What they're saying now is like with the ability of some of these young hackers and stuff like that, it's not far beyond like the reach of possibility that one of these kids is going to break into something and set off nuclear bombs just for the lols. Like,
yeah,
you know,
just thinking it'd be funny and doesn't like, really comprehend.
I just look I I find it weird that all these countries have nuclear weapons stockpiled. Like, what are they going to need them for? Like,
yeah, after you've got it, after a couple, yeah. What do you need after that?
Yeah, that's right. And just, you know, think, like, there was a time, India and Pakistan, they've both got...
Well, yeah, you've seen the Vice documentary on
it? I probably have, but...
Anyone who's listening and you haven't been watching Vice documentaries on different things, you need to check out the India-Pakistan one, because it's literally a scarier situation than US-Russia,
yeah.
Because they're right next to each other. So they're interacting...
And they hate each other.
Yeah, they're interacting on a... daily basis, and if it wasn't for the English going in there and fucking everything up a bunch of years ago, then we wouldn't have this situation. But no one blames the English. No one gets pissed off at them. That's a really scary one, that they could do it, because if they drop stuff on each other, who then jumps in and says, I'm on their side or I'm on the other side? And then again, we've got World War III.
Yeah.
It's scary how many World War III situations there are at the moment.
Mm.
I mean, Russia in the Ukraine pushing their weight around. North Korea and apparently the only reason why the US doesn't go in and stop North Korea from being idiots is because North Korea are good friends with China.
Yeah.
Or Japan.
Yeah.
China.
Yeah.
So Kim Jong-un's allowed to just keep doing whatever he wants... because he's mates with one of the biggest superpowers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's mind-boggling, because listening to, as everyone should be listening to, Dan Carlin's Hardcore History, you realise how much these world wars are literally, I'm in a fight, can you come over and help me?
Yeah, gives a hand, yeah.
It's literally a game of footy where one guy gets into a barney with another guy and then all of a sudden both teams run up to join in and help out.
Yep.
And no one says, should we?
Yeah.
Do we need to do this?
And if they don't get involved, they're called cowards. Like,
yeah, exactly. It's very scary. And the worrying thing is that if there was some kind of world war, you would hope that it wouldn't go nuclear.
Mm.
But... we'd be of an age, if there was a serious world war right now, it would affect us greatly.
Hmm.
Whether we get involved in being conscripted or something, I don't know what the populations of the world are like these days. I mean, back last time that happened, it was a much different situation. But you look at World War II, World War I, everyone thought it was going to be over in not too long. The next thing you know, towns are just decimated.
Yeah.
With deaths.
Yeah.
World War II, exactly the same. Something like Vietnam or even this Iraq War 1 and 2.
Yeah.
It's like everyone thinks, oh, we'll go in, we'll get stuff done and we'll get out again. But it never happens. No. And then you have thousands of casualties on both sides and it's just useless.
Yep.
It doesn't really get us anywhere. It certainly doesn't get us closer to the apocalypse.
No. But, you know, what are we going to do if it does go to nuclear war? Like, we're, you know, I touch wood, I think we're all right because we're on an island in the middle of the ocean, but
they know where we are.
They know where we are.
We're not as far away as we used to be. Vietnam, my dad almost went to Vietnam. I know my stepdad's best mate went. Vietnam was right in our backyard. Mm. We got pulled into it very quickly and easily. And the only reason World War II didn't affect us, we had the submarine in Sydney Harbour, we had Darwin, but that was it. Mm. We've never had war here because we were far away. We're not far away anymore.
No.
Planes fly from Melbourne to the other side of the world, or from Sydney, Melbourne, on a regular basis. Mm. It's not... It's really not a worry. And if you look at who the side... like, we'd obviously be on the US side. So you'd have... it's strange that it would be... we'd be on the white people side when you think about it, because it's the US and England and Europe. Mm. But anyway, we'd be with the US. So who are we against? We're probably against China. That's a hop, skip and a jump to get here and start bombing shit.
Yeah.
We would not...
Farewell.
It would not... well, we might farewell, but because we're so big.
Mm.
they'd probably start with Darwin. They'd hit Cairns, then they'd start coming down. They'd probably go for Sydney and Melbourne, the two biggest industrial areas and populated areas. Shit. But we've got such a big area that it would be so easy, I think, to just say, right, everyone to the bush or everyone to the country towns.
Yep.
Whereas you listen to stuff about World War II or even any other battles and they couldn't get away. The Battle of London happened in the most populated city at the time. Like there was no getting away when your country is as big as our state.
Yeah.
Like that's just ridiculous. Yeah. So we would be greatly affected and it would be an apocalypse for us. If World War II kicked off and they decided to come down here, we'd be fucked.
Yeah.
We would be in real trouble. And I think I honestly would be like, right, that's it. I'd pack my bag and I'd go...
Go bush. Yeah.
And I'd spend about a month trying to convince Jamie to come with me. And then eventually she'd probably just be like, no. And I'd be like, well, I really think it's a good idea, so I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Just because I don't think she's really that interested in camping.
Well, you know, people don't necessarily need to be interested in camping, just interested in not dying, not being, you know,
that's
China's slave or...
That's the technique I'll take. Yeah. It's not. We're not going camping. This isn't fun.
We're surviving.
We're not going to die. That's what we're going to do. And then, but, oh, man. I just had the thought, then it happens in this kind of weather and bushfire rolls through... the back because they dropped a tiny little bomb.
Yeah.
They got on they worked it out. They said, look, go to this area, drop a little one over there. It doesn't even have to be a big one. They won't shoot you down. There's no guns there. Drop a little one and just decimate the place with fire because they won't be able to battle it.
Fire. No.
I hope the Chinese aren't listening.
Yeah, I know.
That's a great idea if you're trying to kill us.
They don't have the internet.
At least they can't get our podcast.
No.
Yeah, it's blocked.
Blocked. Yeah, so look, I guess, you know, also on top of if we do get nuclear war, will we get mutant freaks? That's the big question.
That's the hope.
Yeah.
There's got to be at least one positive out of it, out of nuclear war. What would your favourite nuclear freak attribute be? So it can be on someone else or yourself?
Oh.
Would you go three eyes like the fish from The Simpsons?
Blinky.
Blinky. Would you go three boobs like the girl from Total Recall?
Yeah.
I reckon you'd look good with three boobs.
I would look good with three boobs. Yeah. Do you ever watch much Family Guy?
A little bit.
There was a bit where there was like nuclear waste on the ground. The mayor, Adam West, went and rolled in it thinking he'd get like superpowers and he just ended up getting like lymphoma or something like that. Yeah, it just doesn't work. I don't know. But look, I want to see what would happen if we do, if any form of the apocalypse happens. But look, maybe the world does need something like a virus to wipe some of us out. Because the world does have a way of kind of leveling things out.
That is something that I've, as a gardener, paying attention to plants and stuff. Every now and again, I see a weed or something growing in an area where I'm just like, "How the hell have you done that?"
Yeah.
And then I think to myself, "There's if we did become extinct, it would only be a few hundred years, and the Earth would practically have taken everything back."
I've got a fantastic documentary. That they made, I think they made two episodes of it. Like it's called Life After People.
Yeah.
And it explains how long it would take for things to go back to, you know, the way it was. And it's really not that long. Like,
no.
Like if you think about it, there's, you know, the idea that we as a people used to be a lot more enlightened and intelligent than we were, but something happened, whether that was a previous apocalypse or natural disaster or something like that, and we just lost that technology. Because if you think about it, everything that's in this room now, just looking around to make sure I'm correct with this, none of this would survive.
No.
None of it. Like
none of
the
none
chairs
of,
would...
None of this stuff in here would survive a fire, let alone being left alone for a bunch of years.
Yep.
The thing I love in that that Life After People series is the way they show a thought that you probably don't think of when you walk through like a city and stuff, that if a plant or something grows up and affects the foundation or affects the weight of the building or something, without regular maintenance, those buildings will all come
collapse,
down.
Like, you know, we have leaves and grass and stuff coming through the streets.
Mm.
They fix that. They tend to that straight away so it doesn't affect it.
Tree roots.
Yeah, tree roots.
Lifting up bits of pavement and stuff. They've taken to using bitumen on the pavement sidewalk as opposed to concrete. And I've literally seen trees growing through it and new, brand new baby tree, like seedlings and stuff. So the tree's just nice and slowly taking its time, popping through and stuff. And eventually that's going to get through. Now, if that's gotten through like that without somebody coming along and chopping it or spraying it or something, that means that it's going quick enough that the council might be slow. They might not do a very good job. But within a year, they're going to come around and they're going to stop that.
Yeah.
So within a year, a tree has grown through bitumen road.
Yeah.
And it's without constant human interaction, whether it be just usage of the area or actually trying to stop it, all of that comes back. Then you have those situations where they, like in Peru and stuff, where there's big temples and that have just been covered by vines and things. That's what all of our stuff's going to be. Someone will come to this planet or a new species will come along and they'll say, we think that there used to be an ancient civilization here.
Yep. And the only thing that will survive will be the stone buildings and stuff like Stonehenge and the pyramids. They've been around for a lot longer than these archaeologists believe.
Did you know that Stonehenge, though, has been propped up and fixed?
Yeah.
I found that out and I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. There's like concrete foundations under that stuff. It's just like that's ridiculous that they made it look nice. It's still also amazing that there's these massive blocks there that that were carved out however long ago.
Yep.
But yeah, the current human world will not survive an apocalypse.
No.
We won't survive an apocalypse because of that's what it is.
Yeah.
But it won't, because as you just said, there's nothing in a room like this or an apartment like this. I can imagine all the other apartments here. This place is
maybe a plant would survive.
No, it wouldn't. Not if there was like not neglect.
No, true.
It'd have to get watered. It's not. It's out indoor.
Yeah.
That survive. It's actually looking a little bit droopy at the moment. I'm still so happy that it flowered. It hasn't flowered since we moved here. It's a peace lily.
That is a peace lily.
That's the big one that Chris's one came from.
Yep. Yeah.
But it needs a water. So yeah. You're still not sure what you'd grab if there was an emergency? Not that you've been thinking about it.
Just Chris.
We've got to go, but I haven't got clothes on.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Oh, look, I just think as we were saying before, like the world has a way of kind of leveling things out, and the world's needed to level out for a very long time. But we, because we're definitely outbreeding.
Oh yeah.
The world, like, you know, there's not enough resources and. You know, they, back in the, you know, after war, there was a big push to have as many kids as you want. And
I think there was a phrase, have one for mum, one for dad and one for the country.
Yeah.
So that you had three kids, which meant that you were replacing yourself plus you were adding one to the world.
Yeah.
Whereas now I think our generation are starting to say, I don't really want kids. I don't think I need kids.
No.
But there's a lot of reasons not to bother with kids.
Yeah.
As opposed to back in the day where it was, as you said, it was just like, come on, guys, we've got to do our bit for the country and
repopulate the world.
Growth.
Yeah. But like even in terms of look, I'm not saying that they're not all wonderful things, but science and medicine have made us live much longer than we're meant to have. Like we, you know, I think if you fell over and broke your leg in the wild, you're dead. Like you would, you know, you may be able to have basic first aid to re-splintered or whatever you got to do. But
let's go best case scenario. No bone popping through.
Yep.
No internal bleeding, nothing like that. Just the bone's broken.
Yep.
Maybe I can put a splint on it. Yep. Maybe I can. Maybe I've made some cordage,
yep,
and I've got a tree branch that I can cut down close by that I can make a splint.
Yep.
But I'm a couple of months, or at least a month, I would imagine, off that leg, yep, whilst it heals naturally, because, yep, I can only give it a splint. I can't give it a cast or anything, no, like that. So I'm in pain. I can't sleep.
Yep.
The best painkiller that I've possibly got on me is only a mild one.
Mm.
It's a natural mild one. I then can't hunt.
Yep.
I can't forage, yep, very
can't
well.
Can't protect yourself.
Can't protect myself. I'm doing a lot of sitting and maybe moving around. So, yeah, modern medicine keeps us alive, and we don't even have to go into the old people staying alive in their nursing home because they're taking 40 pills every
getting
day.
Getting Viagra.
But not even the Viagra. The Viagra is just there to take them take their mind off the fact that they're practically dead.
Yeah.
They literally ingest so many pills, and all it's doing is just keeping them alive. It's not improving their quality of life. They're still a vegetable, but they're just staying alive.
Mm.
We don't even have to worry about that kind of stuff, because you and I in our 30s, we should be on the verge of like either midlife crisis, or we're past our midlife crisis and we're thinking about being the wise elder of the tribe.
Mm.
The reason why our testosterone and all our big ideals and I want a family and I want to conquer the world and stuff happens in our late teens and early 20s is because that's the best, or was the best age,
yep,
to naturally go and do this stuff. I mean, Alexander the Great and all them were all 20-year-olds, yeah, when they did that kind of stuff,
yeah,
because they were nut jobs.
Yeah.
They were all just like, I'm going to go conquer the world. I'm the best thing ever. And you listen to somebody of that age now and it's still there.
Hmm.
I remember talking to a guy I used to work with. He was only 19 at the time, and he said, I want a legacy. I want to leave something. I want to earn lots of money and have a big empire, and I want to have a bunch of kids, and I want to leave a legacy. And I thought the same way when I was that age. Mm. Whereas you hear all those old stories about the old guy in the tribe. Turns out he's probably only 40.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there going, ah, don't be silly. You're being ridiculous and stuff. Just go have sex with your missus and have a couple of kids, yeah, and you're fine.
Keep the tribe going.
Keep the tribe going, and that's enough.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we definitely live past when we should, mm, and that's causing, plus the overpopulating, is causing this world to be headed towards a very different place when we're old men, yeah, old men, because it's likely that we'll live to 100.
Yeah. Look, there's even talk that our generation could be the one that's we live forever because, of you know, we combine, yeah, with machines. I'd be happy for that.
Well, you look at, I know he's a bit controversial now because he's got an anger problem and he shot his missus, but that Pistorius guy, yeah, the sprinter,
yeah,
he could run, apparently he could run as fast as like the regular able-bodied sprinters on synthetic legs.
Yeah.
So in the future, you'll break your leg and they'll just replace it,
yeah,
and they'll make it look nice, mm, and you'll be able to walk and run and, yep, you'll be fine. And, yep, they'll make a special thing in it so that you can bounce and you can spring up and jump higher. You look at nutrients and vitamins, mm, and all those kind of pills and stuff, additional to healthy diets and exercise and stuff. I don't want to live forever.
Mm.
No.
I just, oh, like, I know, you know, we briefly touched on it at the very start of the conversation when we were talking about biblical stuff, but I do have an idea of if there is a heaven, it would, for me, it would just be an awakening where you know, like, you know everything.
Oh, okay.
So you know who shot Kennedy, you know if Bigfoot's real, you know if aliens exist, you know everything. I just want the knowledge, and that's the way I look at it. I want to live forever knowing everything.
You said you'd just know. And I thought, oh, okay, you'd know the meaning of life. You'd know the reason for
it. I already
know
the meaning of life. I worked it out a very long time ago. It's really simple, and it's not a joke or anything like that. The meaning of life is to live. That's the sole meaning of life is just to live.
Okay, that's the meaning of our life, but what's the meaning of all of this that we do, that we live?
42.
I thought you were going to say, oh, we get to know the meaning of life, we achieve the... I got the impression that heaven for you was spiritual enlightenment, was hitting nirvana, stuff, and you're like, oh, no, I just want to know if the conspiracy theories were right or wrong. Yeah. I want to know if we really did land on the moon, and I want to know who killed Kennedy, and I want to know if Harold Holt really did get into the submarine. I want to know where Jimmy Hoffa is. Yep. That's the kind of stuff that I thought you were going with there. Okay, well, there you go. Yep. So if anyone can help Dale out and give him heaven, just let him know.
Thank you.
What's going on?
Look, I'd want to, you know, if we can live forever, like we were saying, I would just want to live through some of these things. Like, you know, you couldn't ask for a great quality of life because you don't know. A nuclear war could be around the corner, and what if you have to live through that? Like, watch everyone else die, and I don't know.
I think, one of the harder parts of some kind of apocalypse and something similar to The Road, where it's nothing. Mm. With it, in The Road, they only ever meet, I think, 3-4 other people, and every single one of them, it's a fight to try and survive.
The last family.
Until
where they give the brilliant advice. Sorry, spoilers. Yeah, spoiler alert. Stay off the road.
Spoiler alert. It's a very traumatic film. It is not a positive apocalypse story, not that there are that many. But watching your loved ones crumble, watching them die, and literally die. I mean, I've always said when people find out that they're going to die and then they die, I've always quoted Red Dwarf where Rimmer says, well, at least he got to know it wasn't like, hey, mind that bus, what bus, splat.
Bang, yeah.
And because it's a great sentiment of, I would prefer to be told, you've got cancer, you've got 4 months.
Yeah.
So I could put all my affairs in order. I could talk to people. I could tell them, this is what I want you to do with the rest of your life.
Yeah.
I want you to be happy. I want you to do this. I meant this when I said that. And tell them what you really think. And then...
Slowly go into the night.
As opposed to riding my bike one day and somebody collects me.
Yeah.
Or something as simple. I mean, this is somewhat, not morbid, but I was working up a ladder yesterday.
Writing eulogies?
No, that was when I was on the way to training. Okay. We'll talk about that if you want. I was up a ladder, and for some reason with me when it comes to heights, sometimes I feel fine and I'm a mountain goat and I can jump around and it's no problem. Sometimes I'm unable to move, and this day I was in the middle. I was able to move, I was okay, but I wasn't 100%. And the boss pointed out, if that ladder moves a little bit, if you take a step and slip, I was like 7 foot, 8 foot in the air where my feet were, so my head was even higher. If I fall down and hit my head,
dead.
Back of the head, it's very possible, bang, you're dead. You go to work one day and you never come home. That's the kind of trauma that you would experience in the apocalypse.
Yeah.
That you're walking along, doo-dee-doo-dee-doo, zombie, bang.
Yeah.
Your friend that you've tried to survive with is dead. Yeah. Or in The Walking Dead, they took a storyline from the comics and they put it into the TV show. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen, I think it's it's not the most recent season or series, but the one before that, I think. So this is a big spoiler. It's a pretty pretty interesting thing that happens, so give us a minute. One of the little girls keeps talking about how the zombies are fine. They're not a problem. You just have to treat them differently. And she then kills her sister, thinking that she'll come back and then it'll be fine because then she'll be a zombie, it's fine. So the two people looking after these two kids, because these two kids' parents have died as well, these two other people looking after these kids walk in to the area and there's one little girl holding a gun and the other little girl's dead on the ground.
Hmm.
And it's like, how do you deal with that in the apocalypse? You've got no, there's no, you, if you're lucky to find someone with you who happens to have some amateur psychology, you might be able to get some kind of relief by talking to them about it. But it's a high likelihood that everyone just goes comatose. Yep. Everyone just says, nah, shut the hell up. I don't want to talk about it. I just want to go find some more food and then...
kill or be killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The trauma, as you, I think you almost started the discussion with, if apocalypse happens, watching other people deal with it will be one of the most fascinating things. If you can possibly pull yourself out of it for a few seconds to watch other people, watching them crumble or going, oh, geez, George is doing quite well with this. I didn't see that coming. That kind of stuff. Do you ever think of your friends and family and think, who would you take into the fold? Who would you mercy kill? Who would cope and who wouldn't?
Because, look, essentially you'd want to look after yourself, but you would need people around you for services, for protection, for a company. It's really hard because we are becoming a society of individuals.
Mm.
Like, you know, a community is not as big thing as it used to be. Family, even for some people, is not as big thing as it used to be because we can travel to the other side of the world. If a war broke out and it was a war that every country in the world was involved in, there would be a distinct possibility that Chris would never get to see her family again because her brother lives in Bermuda, her parents are in Canada.
Yeah.
You know, there'd be no fly zones and...
And she would have to, she would be listening to the news, trying to find out information and stuff. She'd never get, and I know some people don't like this term, but she'd never get any closure on it either because there'd never be a grave, there'd never be a ceremony, there'd never be a, this is the final point.
Post office is dead.
It'd just be, don't know.
Yeah.
Just don't know.
Yeah.
We'd go back to, not medieval times, but even like, early founding of Australia or the US and stuff where people would go off traveling to the other colony or the other city and you don't know whether they're going to make it or not.
And start another franchise.
And you would hear that they didn't or did make it 3 months after they actually did because if you think about it in terms of now Melbourne, for those who don't know, Melbourne was settled from people from Tasmania. But Sydney was settled first, so people had to sail from Sydney all the way down to Tassie. Tassie's a little bit isolated still, let alone back then. The boat ride out here took 6 months, and some people just didn't even make it. So then imagine then the boat ride back took another 6 months with the letter saying your son or your parent or your brother or sister has passed.
Yeah.
That's what it would be like in the apocalypse with the internet gone, any kind of communication. You would just have to sit and say, I'm never going to see those people again.
Yeah.
Family means completely nothing because it's only who's around me and whether they're beneficial to my situation. I mean, in this day and age, you can say that your friends and family and the people you live with and stuff are beneficial to you in more than just a survival way because you enjoy their company, they make you smile, they make you feel loved, all that kind of stuff. In the apocalypse, there's none of that.
No.
It's just, when we go hunting, are you going to be beneficial or not?
Yep.
When I come back, are you going to have the fire going and it's going to be nice for me when I've got the... It's like Survivor.
Yeah.
They go off to try and get fish and then they come back and the other bitch is still asleep on the thing so they have to get the fire going.
And they get voted out.
And then they get pissed off and they bark up about it and then they get pissed, voted off.
And the tribe has spoken.
Yeah. But in the apocalypse, it's not the tribe has spoken. It's just I held that chokehold a little bit too long and then threw your body into the water.
Yep.
Not that I'd do that.
No.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that series, I don't know if it's still going or not, Revolution, where it's similar lines to this. There's been like something has happened and no technology works anymore. So there's no electricity in the world or anything like that. It's as much as I know about the show.
Haven't heard it.
I mean, I think it's in its like second or third season or something like that, but I've never watched it. But look, you know, if we all of a sudden didn't have power or technology, what would we do? Like everyone relies on who would take the selfies?
Can you imagine selfie cave drawings? It's a picture of a wildebeest, but I'm in front of a wildebeest. How good does that look?
Photo bombing.
I actually would be I think I would be somewhat happy in a go to the bush and survive kind of apocalypse, because
I'd be happy for about 5 minutes and then, you know.
Oh, because
I'd want to watch TV and
I could stare at a campfire for days. I think I'd be quite happy. Even though you haven't got around to asking me what I'd take.
What would you take?
What I would grab first if all of a sudden if I had to leave here and... if I had to leave here and it was... the world was still going to exist as it is now, I probably would just grab a jacket and some shoes.
Yep.
Because I don't have any money in my bank account anyway. So maybe my wallet. But if it was zombie apocalypse, I'd be grabbing my vest that's in the my oilskin vest. It's got lots of pockets, and I think there's some safety matches or some like crazy intense matches in there. They're ones that you can light it, put it underwater, bring it out again, and it's still light.
Jesus,
they're fantastic matches. And I'd also grab my axe and my saw. Axe doubles as a weapon.
Yeah.
Plus, I have chopped down trees with it before, and it does quite a good job of that too, and the saw as well.
Apparently, you can use Doritos for kindling if you haven't got any.
Yeah, you can use a lot of things for kindling. The thing is, though, you got to get a spark going. How would you get a spark going? See, whereas I've in the vest, I'm pretty sure I've got a flint and steel as well. See, that's why camping is such a good thing when it comes to the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, I've got to go on a camping trip sometime soon. Because I'm daydreaming about my winter trip where I'm going to hike from one snow mountain to the other snow mountain and then back again. And I've got to get out there and practice some camping because I haven't gone camping in ages since last Easter, I think. No, there was a trip last year.
Yeah.
Late last year, I did one night.
Yeah.
That annoyed me, though. Good breakfast, but it annoyed me that trip. I just wasn't feeling it, which was not good. Now, would you – one of the apocalypse doomsday prepper people, they were they were trying to focus on training physically for it. Now I think we've spoken on the show about how you describe yourself as being not a very athletic person until you found jiu-jitsu. What kind of benefit or disadvantage do you reckon you would be physically, either for your own survival or for your group survival, if the apocalypse came?
In the, like, the fitness that I have now?
Yeah. So if the apocalypse happened tomorrow and we're talking not necessarily nuclear but complete nothing, nothing is as we know it and it's just survival, where would your fitness be of benefit?
Oh, I could probably wrestle someone if I have to. I don't know. Yeah, I've got pretty good endurance, so I could probably run for a little bit to get away from people.
Do you reckon you could walk, though? Because walking, you have to get everywhere by walking now.
Yeah, I could walk. I like walking.
Well, within reason. Obviously, cars are still going to be usable for a bit whilst everyone abuses each other.
I walk a lot and I don't get tired, so.
With a load on your back, though? Could you put your home on your back? And
yes, that's another thing. I didn't even think of that.
Another reason why being a camper or bushcrafter is really useful. Yeah. You put a backpack on and you go for it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Are we keeping you up?
No.
We have done over 60 minutes now.
Cool.
Are we thinking an hour is the kind
of
time?
Yeah, I think for today, because I've got to get home and cook the rest of dinner. And
yep.
Yeah.
Okay, with that, this has been the very first episode of the second attempt at the D&G show, or D&G, however you want to pronounce it. Episode number... the Apocalypse.
The Apocalypse.
Are we taking themes and things to talk about from listeners?
Yours is next next one?
But if a listener wants to send
Yeah, oh, look, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. So if you've got a topic you'd like to hear us ramble on about, send it to you can send it to me at bobbyfreakout@gmail.com. We're both on Twitter, even though Dale doesn't go on there very often. I think the last thing he sent was something in reply to me, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
GavinML is my Twitter handle if you want to go there, and I'll link you across to Dale's if you really want to find find his three or four posts from back in the day. The show is going to be on iTunes, if I can remember the Podbean or the which podcasting device website did we use? I think it was Podomatic. If I can remember the Podomatic password and get it up on the old feed, please like, subscribe and all that kind of stuff because it matters, even though it might not seem it. Send us your idea. Like us on Facebook. Tell your friends.
World domination.
No, you were never meant to say and stay safe.
Oh, of course. And stay safe. We know that.